The peatlands of the Congo were brought to Western attention by a team of Congolese and British scientists in 2017. But indigenous communities have known about the region for generations and have a long history of sustainably using the peatlands for hunting, fishing, and for medicinal plants. For a local perspective, I'm joined now by Raoul Mansambula, a scientist who grew up in the Congo Basin and now works as the Central Africa Regional Coordinator for Greenpeace Africa. He's also a biology professor at the University of Kinshasa and worked with researchers from the University of Leeds to map out and document the Congo peatlands. Raoul, welcome to Living on Earth.
Thanks for inviting me.
So this area is new to the Western world, but of course local people have known about it for generations. Can you tell me a bit about your relationship with the peatlands and how the communities surrounding it use the area?
Les aînés et les parents.
The elders said to us it was a productive area for the fish and animals, and we could only do seasonal fishing and hunting and collect some firewood because it's a fragile area where the fish and animals reproduce. We only use it during the dry season. We don't go there during the wet season when the animals are reproducing. We were advised by our elders to never start a fire in these areas because these areas were essential for food. It's also an area where we practice traditional ceremonies. And you don't see a lot of hospitals here, but you don't see people dying a lot because they're using medicinal trees from the peatland and eating forest fruit.
So as a scientist from the DRC who grew up there, you spent your life there in this region, how surprised were you to learn about the enormous amount of carbon locked up in the soil there?
When the scientists came here and we learned about the peatland, that night it was one of the biggest celebrations I've ever had in my life. We danced and we drank with the villagers because even if we didn't know about the peatlands for a long time, we knew that they were special. Even as we now begin to scientifically understand what this area means, the elders knew for a long time that this area would benefit humanity. This discovery made us very happy, even if we were unsure if carbon would have any financial significance or not. It's as though we are helping the world fight against climate change.
So it sounds to me like the local people who live there have a really, really invested interest in keeping this place intact and keeping it just as it is to continue to use it in so many different ways.
The problem is, in Indonesia, they are growing a lot of rice and palm oil crops in the peatlands. So the youth think, why not grow them here, too, because it's easy money. Most of the young people, the ones who are less than 25 years old, some of whom are unemployed or not well-educated, want to do things like that.
Well, you know, the Congo Basin, the rainforest there, is second only to the Amazon, of course, in terms of being the largest rainforest in the world. But unlike Brazil, the Congo Basin hasn't really seen a whole lot of development. But what are you seeing on the horizon in terms of possible development and threats to the integrity of the peatlands?
Logging is nearing the peatlands, and agribusiness is growing. And the growing population can be problematic because it will encourage the development of more rice crops or palm oil crops in the peatland. That can be a problem because with a larger population, if people can't make a living, send their kids to school, or go to the hospital, they will damage the peatland by logging ecologically valuable trees to sell the wood. And once they do that, the peatland can dry.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, here in the United States and so many other Western countries, we developed. We cut down our forests to grow food, to send our children to school, to, you know, do all the things that you're talking about, that, you know, any person has these needs, right? But of course, the Congo Basin now is sitting on this treasure, this world treasure, and we need it to stay intact to maintain our climate. But it's very hard, I think, for Western cultures to say, no, you shouldn't do that when we did it ourselves. So how can the Western world, do you think, support people living in the Congo Basin to preserve this thing that's so important for all of us, but at the same time, you know, support the people that need development?
The problem is that we need donors. We need Western countries who are creating a lot of pollution to give some money for peatland protection. But another thing is corruption. You know how bad governance is in Central Africa. Like right now in the DRC, we are hearing about millions of dollars going to the Central Africa Forest Initiative. They're giving a lot of money, but when you're in the field, you don't see anything. There is now a very big forest community project, which is funded by international NGOs like Greenpeace. not the DRC government. We don't want people to donate through the government ministry. With the corruption and bad governance, that money will not go to the field.
Raoul Monsembula is the Central Africa Regional Coordinator for Greenpeace Africa. Raoul, thank you so much for taking this time with me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
We want to take a moment to thank Oscar Fierro for his help with the translation of this segment and Mark Fabian for doing the voiceover.